Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so 1 week from today, we've got the draft, right? We've got the Jets and the Giants, and here's what's got to happen for the New York Giants. I don't care how they get there. I don't care who they find as a willing trading partner, but the Giants have to get in this position, Sal, to draft a quarterback.
Well, how are they going to do that?
They're going to make a trade, and they're going to be aggressive, and they're going to be proactive because Daniel Jones ain't it. No disrespect to Daniel Jones. He's a fine pro, but in terms of next level stuff, the contract ain't it. So the New York Giants need to craft their future, and they need to find the guy. And if the Giants are picking, you know, top seven, top eight again next year, then people's job status is going to get a little shaky. So what Shane and Daboll, specifically Shane, needs to do is be proactive, target a guy, target a team, make the trade, get the quarterback, and go from there.
Here's the problem, though. You don't want to force the issue, right? I mean, we've talked about this many times dating back months now, and while I agree that Daniel Jones ain't it, and ultimately for this Giants team to have success, they're going to have to find the next quarterback, but what if they can't get one in this draft? What if the one that they really want, they can't get? Well, the top two, top three picks, New England's not trading out, Washington's not trading out. And even if they do trade up to number four, is J.J. McCarthy the guy? Not that we think he's the guy or not.
Yeah.
Is that the guy that they want? They can't force the issue. While I think it is the number one need, and if they don't find a quarterback in the draft, and by the way, they could find one later in the rounds too, and maybe I'd prefer that if it's not McCarthy. You know, with McCarthy, who the hell knows? You hear rumors about, oh, well, maybe he'll be there at six. Maybe he's going to go late first round. Maybe the Washington Commanders are going to take him at number two. Maybe the Giants trade up. I don't know what to believe about J.J. McCarthy other than I don't believe he is worthy of trading up for. If he's there at six and you love him, then maybe you select him. But I would not do it just because they need a quarterback. They better make sure it's the right quarterback.
Well, that's their job. Their job is to identify the player. My job is to tell them what to do.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right,
you know, and make sure you get the right guy.
But if you tell them to get a quarterback, you know, they need a quarterback.
They do.
I agree with you,
yep.
but don't you think that that stretches? What if they say, like, yeah, well, we love this guy.
But
we
he's not available.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, you got to find the guy that you like. And that might be Michael Penix. I mean, it might be something that's unconventional here. And you know, it might be McCarthy. I know that McCarthy is very much, you know, he elicits a very definitive reaction. Nobody is benign on McCarthy. It's either, listen, I love this guy. Harbaugh coached him up. He's the real deal. I believe the workout reports. He's the guy. Move up and get him. Or no way. He's a product of hype, and we've seen that a lot over the years. Sam Darnold, we saw it with Zach Wilson. Hell, we saw it with Daniel Jones years ago when he came out six out of Duke. So I get it. I'm not saying that it's the perfect roadmap to the future, but think about this, Sal. The Giants went out and made an amazing trade getting the kid Burns from Carolina, who is a game wrecker as a sack artist. You got him. You got Dexter Lawrence. You got Kayvon Thibodeau. You've got a good defense in place here. I say this because the Giants aren't going 5-12 next year. And if they do, we're going to have to really reevaluate the GM and the coach. We're just going to. There's a lot of noise around the coach this year about, you know, obviously with Wink and coach is not happy and some energy in the building that might not be flying long term. Giants got to win a few games this year, and I think that they will. So if they go, you know, 9-8, even 8-9, but not 9-8, they're not going to be in position to draft the quarterback. And oh yeah, by the way, at least not one that's appealing. Next year's quarterback crop stinks, and that's part of my evaluation process. Now, that doesn't mean whether it's Cam Ward from Miami or the kid Rourke from Indiana or Deion's son. None of these kids, and I'm not Mel Kiper, I'm not a drummer, yeah. But
the by the way, they don't, is, even yeah. the gurus don't know what the hell they're talking
I
about.
I got you, but the, true. But the general consensus is none of the college quarterbacks for 2025 are even worthy of a top 15 pick. So if you think the Giants will be competitive this year, and I do, then you gotta make your move now.
Right, but wouldn't they be better off, and I know you're not opposed to this, but just, you know, hear me out here, wouldn't they be better off, let's say Harrison Jr. somehow falls to them.
Mm-hmm.
They get him, you get the best player, instead of reaching for a quarterback who you might like, might not, I don't know, McCarthy, and then take a quarterback later. As long as they come away with a quarterback in this draft, I'm okay with it. It doesn't have to be a top guy, but it has to be a quarterback that they love. I just don't want them to take one just to take one. Obviously, it's a position of need. Like, I don't think anybody's going to dispute that at this point, although I know there are some Giant fans who still believe in Daniel Jones, and he is going to be the starting quarterback, and maybe the hope is that, hey, one more year, draft a lineman, get a stud receiver, let's see what DJ can go out there and do. You might get to see that anyway, but even in that scenario, I still want them to get a quarterback. I just don't want them to reach. And when you start hearing, you know, whether it's the Schrager mock draft, or yeah. when you start hearing
he
about
did
McCarthy,
say that. Yep.
like, you start hearing the Giants are going to trade up mm-hmm. to get McCarthy, where months ago it was, you know, maybe at 6, maybe they'd consider McCarthy, or he was like a late first, mid to late first round guy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that starts to reek of desperation. Similar BT to Yamamoto, where the early numbers on Yamamoto were nowhere near $320 million. It was all about 150, 180, maybe 200. Then it starts to go up, and you start to, like, you feel the team's getting antsy. Oh, I really want him. Now I'll go up to 300. And then they start getting way in over their head, and then you realize, you know what the hell are we doing here? Paying a guy $320 million who's never pitched a game in the big leagues before. You don't want it to be, oh, well, we need a quarterback, we need a quarterback, and you're reaching and trading up to get a guy who, you know, arguably could have been the end of the first round anyway.
877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Good morning, everybody. Got a couple of good baseball wins. We'll get to that later. And we got the Sixers. We'll get to that as well. You know that. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Listen, I get it. When you do something out of, I don't want to say desperation, but out of need or, you know, necessity, I'm going to downgrade it, you know, one or two levels below complete sheer utter desperation like the Giants are at with the quarterback position, because most of us believe, as I said before, with all due respect, Jones ain't it. You do things, then you kind of trick your mind into believing this is the guy, this is the answer, this is the solution. And that usually causes a lot of mistakes. I as a general thought, a philosophy, a drafting premise, sounds not wrong. But then there's the flip side. Okay, what if you don't do anything? Let's say you get the wide receiver. And by the way, I'm not even sure Harrison's going to be the top receiver going. That's even up for debate. But whatever. Whether, let's just say, Harrison or Alt, the offensive line. I don't know, whatever, right? And you have a pretty decent season. Or even if you don't have a good season, there's no quarterbacks next year. What do you do next year? Who's your quarterback? Like, the only thing that matters in the NFL is a quarterback, which is why the Jets brought in Aaron Rodgers and gave him every key to the building to let him do whatever he wants, because they're desperate, like they did with Brett Favre. That's why when you hear Tom Brady on podcasts talking about maybe, well, you know, somebody knocks on my door midseason, I might be interested. I got news for you. Depending upon what the ownership of the Raiders thing, if he can even do it, somebody will knock on his door because he's a quarterback. And until the Giants get theirs, they're not winning.
But I'm not going to reach in the draft, even though it's a position of need, because that can harm you years to come. If you reach and you miss, you are screwed. If you just stand pat and say, well, we need good players elsewhere anyway, and I don't love this particular quarterback, or I'm not trading up for this particular quarterback, and a stud lineman is there that could be there for the next 10 years, a tackle, whatever it may be, or a stud wide receiver that you think could help you out long term, you'll figure it out eventually, whether that means free agency, whether it means via trade.
Free agency with a quarterback?
Yeah, well, whatever.
I mean, come on. I'm just outside saying, of Kirk Cousins, yeah. When does that happen?
I mean, a Jets traded for Aaron Rodgers, whether it's a trade or free, they're going
How's
to.
How's it working out?
Yeah, I understand. Well, but you could also try to draft him and miss. And when you draft and miss, it sets you back 4 years. I mean, the Jets had to do that with trading for Rodgers because they missed on Zach Wilson, because they missed on Sam Darnold, and on and on and on. If you're reaching just because you need a quarterback and you take a player, let's just say J.J. McCarthy at 6, or you trade up to him to get him at 4, where in reality, where if you were ranking the players just based on sheer players, forget about position,
yeah,
McCarthy would be 30th or
so,
whatever.
The big board kind of deal.
Whatever,
like,
yeah, big board. And you're skipping over a guy who's, you know, going to be a stud for the next 10 years, but you go based on need. That's how it can be dangerous. I'm not disagreeing. I don't believe in Daniel Jones. For the Giants to have the ultimate success, they have to get a quarterback, but it doesn't have to be now.
Okay, let's get to it. Obviously, Giant fans, you got a lot to chew on here. Jet fans as well. We'll do a little Jet draft stuff tomorrow, later on today, and obviously leading up to next week here. 877-337-6666, BT and Sal. Zach is in Monroe. What's cooking there, Zach?
What's going on, guys? Good morning. So I just want to say this with the Giants. They got to keep the pick at 6. Because Neighbors is the pick. They have to take Neighbors, and then you can take a quarterback late round, like in the second or the third round. I think Penix will be there in the second round, and I think they should take him. Either him or even Spencer Rattler, I wouldn't mind him. Somebody they can build upon. I know Penix doesn't have the best intangibles, but neither does
Josh. So then why would you draft him? See, this is what I mean. Why would you draft him?
Because you can build, like, you can build on what he currently has. I mean, like, Josh Allen wasn't the best quarterback at Wyoming. Like, when he was at Wyoming, he didn't have the best intangibles. He just had the big arm, and he made bad decisions. And look at what he is now. I mean, he hasn't done much in the playoffs, but I mean, he's been in the MVP running, you know, since 2020. And I think people could do that again with Penix. You know, and then you have Neighbors to do it with.
All right, well, exactly. But here's the problem. And interest. I'm not saying you're wrong, and I'm not saying that there's only one path to attack this. I gave you my path. I'm looking to get a quarterback in the first round. That's why. And by the way, you could trade back. We keep talking about trading up. If you're able to really get a good read on the draft, and you trust your intel, and you trust your contacts around the league, and you think there's a way to jump back a slot or two and get McCarthy, I think you could do that as well. People are not incorporating that, but I think everything's on the table.
I think the Giants are in a spot where they have many needs. Obviously, in the NFL, the biggest need is always going to be quarterback. But when you reach, and teams reach all the time, that's how you get yourself in trouble. And they are in a spot where they could take the best player available and it's going to help them.
But they could also miss. They can. Well, that's the thing about the draft. Like, they can take the guy who's the best available, right, O-lineman, D, and whatever, quarterback, wide receiver, and he's a stiff. You don't know.
But wouldn't you rather go down with thinking who was the best player as opposed to drafting by need?
Yeah. I do. That's a good point.
Like, that happens
I
all the time.
I'd rather go with my instincts. I'd hope my instincts would lead me to the most important position on the board, which is quarterback. Now, it's a massive Hail Mary, I got it. If it's close, I'm going quarterback.
Let's just use whatever. Harrison Jr., you want to put him up there. And even that's like, oh, he's the guaranteed, you know, first wide receiver.
He's not, by the way.
Yeah, now he's not. I mean, they changed their tune. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So who the hell knows really what's going on? What smoke screens, what's legit, what's not?
Yep.
If Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, you compare him at his position to what J.J. McCarthy, for example, is at his position, there is no debate who's the better player right now. We're not saying who's going to be.
Honestly, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is talking about it. Marvin Harrison Jr. is either the top or number two wide receiver off
some
the board.
People think he's number three.
McCarthy is not.
Some people think he's number three.
Well, I mean, whatever. I guess to each their own.
Yeah,
point is,
that's the point.
Point is, more people, I would think, the people in the know, feel comfortable, more comfortable about Marvin Harrison Jr. being a top wide receiver than they would on taking a flyer on J.J. McCarthy, who would only go that high because it is a position of need and of high importance. I would rather, if I'm the Giants and have needs at O-line, wide receiver, whatever position you want to talk about, I wouldn't go defense myself.
But no, me neither.
But I would go offensive line or wide receiver. And if I feel better about that O-lineman or wide receiver, I'm taking him over a quarterback unless I love that quarterback. I can't do it just because they are in dire need of a quarterback.
Let me get Robert Gladstone, BT and Sal here on the Fan. Rob, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Listen, I agree wholeheartedly with you guys. I don't see the fascination in this guy McCarthy, honestly.
Well, then you don't agree with me. You agree with Sal, which is fine. But me and Sal are saying two different things. Keep going.
Okay, and regardless,
yeah.
The Giants, we all know the Giants need to stretch the field. They need a wide receiver. And or there's going to be two quality offensive linemen going to be right there. They need to do that. One of the two. Offensive lineman and or a wide receiver to stretch the field.
Yeah.
And I love Harrison. I really do.
Okay.
Anyway, that's really all I got.
Yeah, but Rob, hold on a second. Well, if that's all you got, I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, bud. Thanks for checking in. But don't you think it's easier, and we know the answer, it's not quite the same as running back, but you think it's easier to find a quarterback in round two or a wide receiver in round two? It's wide receiver.
Right.
But
it's not about finding somebody. It's about getting the best players. Ultimately, even if you have, look, let's just say the Giants hit on a great quarterback. And we're still going to say, well, he needs the weapons around him. I mean, it's the same thing. Oh, he just needs the weapons around him. Oh, he needs this, a wide receiver, the offensive lineman. Oh, yeah, he's great, but he needs the guy to protect him. So there really is no wrong answer when you're building a team because ultimately, even with Rodgers, what is it? Well, they got to be able to protect. Oh, they got to get him some weapons. Oh, the Jets need a tight end. They need a top receiver. Well, do they? They have one of the best quarterbacks ever. So why do they need all the other stuff? Because it takes a team to win football games. Yes, having a quarterback is of the utmost importance, but you also need the other positions, and that's where the Giants are lacking right now. It's not like there's one glaring need. There are multiple needs. I'm just not reaching. As much as I want them to get a quarterback, and they're not going to become relevant until they get a new quarterback and change, as far as I'm concerned, because Jones ain't it. I'm not reaching.
Do you agree that there was a little, and it was a little unexpected based on what they did a year ago, but do you agree that there was elements of heat strong, but a little smoke around the head coach this offseason and late in the season, like, oh, God, what's going on with this? Okay,
right.
Okay. And
somebody else does, too.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to Bell a little bit.
Belichick already thrown his resume on the table. We will get to that, BT and Sal on the Fan. But I say that because that extends up a little bit to Joe Shane, a little bit. Now, I think they've got the right duo. I do. But last year was messy. And last year, in large parts, was just ugly and unwatchable from a football aesthetical point of view. Giants were pretty gross most of the season, even though they scrapped out a couple of wins late. Point being, if they are bad this year and they don't have a quarterback, like they go 5-6-11, I'm just saying if they do and they don't have a young quarterback in the building that they could at least say, hey, you know, we're hitting reset. We didn't draft Jones. Jones got hurt. He's making 40-something mil. We got to rebuild this team out. They are going to be out of that building quicker than they would be if they draft a quarterback, even if it's the wrong one coming up next week. So even if you disagree with McCarthy or what I think they should do, do you at least agree that they've got to be thinking that on some level in terms of self-preservation?
Yeah, I mean, but if they draft a quarterback, it kind of resets, right? Because it's going to give them
100%.
3 or 4 years or so.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. I mean, but that's the wrong thing to do.
It might be, but you can't tell me that they're not thinking that on some level.
They are. And we'll hear from Joe Shane today, right? Meeting the media at 12 o'clock, so hopefully we have some sound from him.
Hoff, can we play that? We're not sure yet.
Not that he's going to give an answer, directly on that, but at least get a good feel for what Shane is thinking here. Look, I'm fine with them taking a quarterback. I'm not fine with them reaching for a quarterback.
877-337-6666. BT and Sal, good morning, everybody. Yeah, it is a good morning. Our buddy Spike Eskin, how's that? Hey, Spike, we're coming for you, buddy. You're going down in six if you're lucky. Now, here's the, we'll get to the Knicks a little bit later, obviously. He's got his hoodie. I got my Nick shooting shirt on. The Knicks almost got a massive break last night. Almost.
They're just so unlucky. I can't take it.
Well, they're going to be fine. They're going to win this round. And they might be lucky if they move on to the next round. Then Giannis is banged up.
Yeah, because if they were lucky.
Yeah.
We'll get into the Knicks a little bit. But if they were lucky,
yeah.
They would have gotten Miami without Jimmy.
Well, that's the key. Jimmy's out a couple of weeks with a sprained MCL. It's not like Miami lost by 27 points. If Miami was scraped past the Sixers last night, the Knicks would be playing Miami without Jimmy Butler.
The Celtics got lucky. The Knicks did not.
But it's going to be fun.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
We got the draft next week. Yanks and Mets bagging awesome wins yesterday, both with days off today. So we are obviously stacked out of the chute. It's BT and Sal. Giants need to plant the flag a week from today and find their quarterback.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells, and the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All righty, BT and Sal, 10:26 on The Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show.
You're extra fired up today.
We coming for you, Philly. We're coming for you, Spike. Yeah. Right,
let me just say this.
Get to those Knicks a little later. Yes, sir.
We're coming for everybody.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, look out.
Yeah, we are.
It's all mine.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yeah, I hear you. I do hear you. Trust me.
But yes,
I hear you. Yeah.
Yes, the Sixers.
Yep.
Spike, you knew it was inevitable with Spike, right?
Oh, my God.
This was dating back months when we came in dressed in the Knicks gear, when the Knicks wiped the floor with the Sixers.
Yeah, like, which time? We beat them by 25 down in Philly. I think that's the game you're referencing. Yeah.
This was inevitable.
The thing about Spike, though, we'll get back to this Giant stuff. I'll tell you exactly what the open is and what we're talking about to start the show, BT and Sal. Like, I appreciate the fandom in Spike, I do, but he's walking around like he's got Moses Malone and Dr. J. Dude, you haven't won a championship since 83.
He's still
tapped the brakes.
He's still confused. Yeah, the semi-Sixers.
Yo,
it's the Knicks versus
gosh.
The semi-Sixers. It's funny. They take bows for getting to the semifinals every year.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, we'll
see. They're going to take a bow. They're going to bow out when we bop them in five. We're not losing the series.
No semi-Sixers
this
year. I will tell you, I know we're going to do more on it. I just want to tell you, I watched that game last night. And
me too.
My feelings going in were that I wanted Miami.
You said that.
Watching that game last night.
Feel better.
I think the Knicks got the better matchup.
Well, without Butler, I'm going to disagree.
But forget that. I'm saying watching that game last night, I was thinking, oh, God, Butler, Hero, these guys are going to be a pain in the ass. And I think the Knicks match up better with the Sixers. Now, I didn't know Butler was going to be out to this extent.
Couple of weeks.
Obviously, you'd rather play Miami minus Butler, but I don't think Embiid's 100%.
And he played a lot of minutes. And how does he regenerate by the weekend? I don't know. He played a lot of minutes.
Batum's not going to do
what he did last night.
The majority of his series.
OG, lock him down. We got OG on him.
I think the Knicks got the more favorable matchup.
It'll be fun, but we'll do more Knicks later. A ton of Knicks tomorrow. Rangers, obviously. Isles finish up the season on a high 3-0, so things are looking good. The draft
playoffs all weekend, bro. We got a lot of playoffs games.
I know, and we got a couple of the baseball teams. You know, you guys on a nice win streak. Yanks getting a big win yesterday.
That was a character win, my God.
Huge win. So we're doing the big juggle here.
I was getting a text ready.
Well, you got my text? I mean, see, that's the difference. I mean, I shoot out. See, that's the difference.
Nah,
you get your text. What was the text?
No, I was just joking around.
Getting ready to throw the needle out there a little bit.
Broom emojis, man.
Yeah,
there's one team in town that's red hot, and it's not the Yankees.
See, the difference
something
is
like that.
Yeah,
although
you always hit me up with that stuff. The difference, and we'll get back to this giant stuff, I promise. Here's the difference between me and Sal. I'm gonna lay it out for you right now. So, in terms of our relationship, like our dynamic, like in terms of poking fun at each other, I'm talking about off the air, right?
Yeah.
So, Sal gets a rise. Like, when something goes wrong with the Yankees, Sal, he's got that knife he's reaching for right away. Can't wait to penetrate flesh. He is looking to, not a mortal wound, but he's looking at a couple of trickles of blood. I ignore his team because his team is irrelevant to me. I mean, they won. They look good. They're playing well.
They're red hot. They're the hottest team in baseball.
They look great. Going out to L.A., they don't move me. Like, they don't inspire me to throw a little broom emoji or something else because they're the Mets.
I understand that. No, that's fine. But they are the hottest team in baseball. And you're right. Yesterday, two great wins. What a great, great win for the Yankees. We'll talk more baseball later.
No doubt. 877-337-6666. So, from 1 week from today, the Giants need to find a way to find their quarterback because next year's draft class stinks from a quarterback perspective. I'm not going to get in the weeds like a geeky draft Nick, but trust me, the kid from Indiana, the kid from Miami, Deion's son, not even really a top 30 prospect in the group from a quarterback perspective. So you're not going to get that guy in all probability next year. And if you are drafting top 6, top 7, top 8 next year, things went so awry that you might have a new coach and a new GM. Maybe, unlikely, but maybe. They got to find their guy. Got to move up. You got to move back. You got to read this perfectly. And you have to walk away with a quarterback. All right, let me get Bill in Hightstown with BT and Sal. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
You both are making interesting points. I just want to look at it a little bit sideways. Let's assume the Giants love one of the top three quarterbacks. Now, they're not getting Williams because the Bears are taking him. Now, you got Washington and New England. Washington's going to probably want one of those other two that are left. I'm not talking McCarthy yet.
I know. You're talking about Daniels or May. I got you. Absolutely. Yep.
Then it's an issue of New England. Do they like number three or McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
My problem, BT, I don't disagree with your overall point. I just don't see the trade they can make. Is it possible, I mean, could it fall, that they love the third one and New England doesn't, and they can make a trade with New England?
Oh, I think they can make a trade with Arizona. I think that's where you start.
But he's talking about getting into that top three.
Well, only if they need to. Like, if their urgency, like, if they view, like, if they want to be able to get their hands on Drake May, who right now, you know, it's gonna be Williams and Daniels, like, I think. And Drake May probably third. Like, if they love May and like McCarthy, well, then you try to cut a deal with the Pats. If you really like McCarthy and really like May, then you try to just deal with the Cardinals and get one of them.
But if the Pats want a quarterback, they're not going to be dealing. They're not going to be trading. Unless they like McCarthy and they want to trade down, which I would be stunned if that's the case.
I agree with that. That's probably right.
But that, I think, is Bill's point, where let's say you can't get in the top three.
You
then
go to
what?
Four, Arizona, and you take McCarthy.
Oh, see,
if you like
that's
McCarthy.
What I think is, why not just wait at that point? If you like him and don't love him.
Yeah.
Why not just wait until 6?
Because who might hop in? Listen, I think the Cardinals are open to trading with somebody.
I'm calling the bluff. Who, the Vikings? I'm calling their bluff. I don't believe anybody's trading up to get J.J. McCarthy. I think the Giants, if they love him, could get him at 6. You know the Chargers aren't doing anything with pick number 5 as far as quarterback goes.
Yep.
And they're likely not. I wouldn't think they're trading down. I think they're going to take the best player available, whether it's O-line, whether it's Harrison Jr., who knows. Now, again, I don't know. Nobody knows. I'm just assuming. I mean, the whole thing drives you nuts. This guy's going first. The only thing we seem to know is Williams going first. Every year, it's the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks that we assume are going to go, late first round. All of a sudden, oh, no, McCarthy might go second. What?
But this isn't new. This has been going back to Peyton and Ryan Leaf.
I know, but it's
a debate about that 1-2, 2-1, you know?
It's
fun.
It has gotten worse over the years as far as the quarterback
goes. Agreed.
Because usually you would project some guys as mid to late first rounders.
Correct.
You don't see them all of a sudden jump up. The first year I remember it was with Goff and Wentz. Yeah. Where, and I forget how it went.
And Wentz went number two.
Right, but Goff was supposed to be the number one pick, and Wentz was not, or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, these guys could be first rounders potentially. And then, boom, 1-2. It's like, what the hell?
Well, because now with everybody's clock being sped up out of necessity, whereas back in the day, you might draft somebody 18, 22, 26, take a flyer mid to back end on a first round quarterback. Now there's a race, you know, 3, 4, 5 teams every single year.
I get
it. The guy they drafted a couple of years ago didn't work out. His contract is just about up. They don't want to pay him. They got to move on. Boom. Here's the accelerated move. Let me jump in the top 10 and get my guy. Listen, I'm not pretending to tell everybody that I know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to come across as arrogant, but I do feel pretty confident with two things. I think the Chargers are taking a receiver.
Right.
I'm almost positive that Arizona is amenable to a trade, and I'm almost positive the Tennessee Titans are taking Joe Wall.
Right, but if you're the Giants, you have the sixth pick.
Yep.
And you know, I'm with you, the Chargers aren't going to take a quarterback. First three are going to be off the board. That leaves one team. Do you think... Forget what the Cardinals are going to do. They're not. I wouldn't think they're going to take a quarterback because there's been a lot of talk about them trading down potentially.
Yep.
I would force their hand and call the bluff on other teams trading up that being desperate enough to get J.J. McCarthy. And I would say, okay, well, if you're going to... Now, that's just me on McCarthy.
A little dangerous, but okay.
Unless you... Now, they do that, the Giants. They better freaking love this guy. Unless you love him, I'm calling their bluff, everybody's bluff, Cardinals and the other teams potentially trading up and saying... I think I'm going to get him at number six. Then at least if you get him at six, you don't trade up. You like the player enough to take him there, and you take your chances. But I'm not reaching, and I am certainly not trading up to get a guy who's projected to go mid to late first round.
The good news from the Giants' perspective is that I don't think there's a ton of teams based on – it's not like the Giants are 12, and they got to worry about, you know, multiple teams jumping in multiple –
That's what I mean.
I do understand that. I think the only real competition for something, you know, which would be pretty dramatic, even though you rule it out somewhat, I think Minnesota's in play either for McCarthy or for Bo Nix. Now, the other thing the Giants could do, and I said this before, it was more about McCarthy, but they could also move back and maybe have Bo Nix in play. Go from 6 to, I'm just throwing out, 12. I don't know. Get some second and third round equity and take somebody up. Like, if McCarthy and Nix are close, you can justify it, but it depends how they evaluate them.
Well, right.
We don't know how they feel.
I know that, but also it does sound like you're settling for a quarterback as opposed to the quarterback.
Not if you really like. I can see why you'd feel that way a little bit. Eddie's up in the Bronx. Ed, BT and Sal, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Oh, man, I'm listening to this as a Giants fan, and I'm literally dying here because I always said if the season's were flip-flop. If Dable had success in year two as opposed to year one, they wouldn't even be thinking about being on the hot seat.
I agree.
But then you look at it like this, and I agree. It's to a point you don't want to reach. But at this point, if you don't get the quarterback and you take a receiver, now, like you said, there's nothing coming out next year. You're looking at the 2026.
Yeah, you don't know that yet, though.
It's pretty weak.
Yeah,
though.
I know, but it's hard to project a year out. You don't know. Also, it doesn't mean that they have to draft a quarterback. Now, again, I wouldn't recommend trading for one or free agency, but that is an option. Teams do it. You let the board play out in front of you, and then you assess. You can't just say, "Well, there's no quarterbacks next year, so I'm going to reach for a quarterback this year."
No. But then the one thing as a Giants fan, and I've always said this, is when you expect nothing out of them, that's when you get a decent season out of them. And the thing is so next year we're looking at a point where, okay, like you said, if they win 9 games next year, now you're in the middle of the road. Franchise quarterbacks rarely, if ever, get let go in free agency, or you can never trade for them.
Yep.
Nobody's giving those up.
Yep.
Almost like a franchise left tackle.
Well, Eddie, we're on the same. That's what I'm saying, man. That's why I think you've got to see being great at drafting isn't just about, you know, understanding who's talented coming out of school this year. It's about reacting to the team's drafting behind you and what your instincts and intel are telling you what they might do in terms of moving up. It's having a good sense of the board in front of you, what they're going to do, which impacts what you do, but also the great drafters like Ozzie Newsome for the Ravens back in the day and others too. You got to have a sense of what's going to happen next year. Like this is, and I'm sure that Shane is as immersed in that as you can humanly be. And those are the teams, you know, that carve out winning decades when they read multiple drafts properly. I just find it amazing. I mean, every Giant fan's complaining about Daniel Jones, yet we've taken five calls. Only one of you wants to draft the quarterback. And my partner's saying, nah, you don't need a quarterback, when all he was doing was screaming about Daniel Jones this year.
They do need a quarterback. I'm with you there. I just am not reaching for a quarterback based on need. I think that you get yourself in a bad spot when you start, especially when you're where the Giants are at, where they're not a quarterback away. They need one, but they're still not just one player away. I am not drafting based on need. At their particular position, where they're at on the draft board, and where they're at as a franchise, I am taking the best player. I'd rather have the best.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Best offensive lineman or the best wide receiver, then reach for a quarterback. While I think that they need a quarterback more than they need the other position, I'm still not reaching.
We see it a little differently. I hear you, though. I do. It's not illogical. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan.
When this happened, you talk about it on the Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That sounds a little different after a win, doesn't it? Da 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 ba da da. All right, time for the Wendy's Yankees turning point of the game. That was a big one. Boy, that just felt big. That looked impressive. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. And the first one to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game. Maybe it was when Sal was queuing up the little broom emoji to send to me. Maybe that's the turning point. 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. You get two pairs of tickets, two pairs to a 2024 Yankees regular season game, but it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan.
Can I tell you what I thought was the turning point of the game? I don't know what the actual one is, but what I felt was the turning point of the game.
Torres is at bat?
No.
Who's been horrendous still. But
no, that was great, obviously.
Stanton's home run.
Soto's at bat in the eighth.
Yeah, that was massive. Dude, he is.
He looked lost on
is
the
he swinging the bat enough for yourself?
That particular situation, yes. Yeah. First of all, he was a monster yesterday.
He's incredible.
But that at bat in the eighth, down 4-1.
Yeah.
He looked as bad as I've seen him look all year on a pitch. I think it was the second pitch of the at-bat. Swinging and missing and just looked off balance. They even mentioned it on the broadcast.
Missed it by a mile. You never see that.
Comes back and hits the homer.
Yep.
And at that point was the first time I felt like, because the Yankees were lifeless all afternoon.
Sure.
At that point, I was like, now they've got some life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still down 4-2 going to the ninth. But that at-bat alone, because he looked lost, comes back, hits the homer. Now they got some momentum, a little bit of life, and then it carried over in the ninth, obviously, with Stanton, with Torres, to your point, the bottom of the order getting it done until they turned it over to Judge, who ultimately got it done.
Volpe with that sick play up the middle to finish up the game.
Oh, my God.
That was beautiful.
Now, we talked yesterday about Gold Glove. That's a Gold Glove
He's
play.
Been playing very well this year defensively. The bats got a little chilly here, but the Yanks get a win that they needed. The Mets, I mean, listen, I'm going to hold Steve Cohen to one standard. When things get a little chilly, you better keep tweeting. I noticed Steve's been tweeting up a storm about these Metsies, huh?
He's been chirping.
Yes.
I don't know if I like that. I mean, I like it, but you're right.
Just don't go dark when things go awry. If they do, maybe they don't. Maybe this Mets team is, I don't know, in the early stages of authoring something incredibly improbable.
He feels
Mets
it.
Look good,
he
man.
Must feel it.
He's feeling it. He's feeling it.
I was surprised at that one.
And it's not the first time he's done it. It's been like 25 tweets. Yeah. Beautiful day
beautiful
for a
day
game.
For a game.
Flight out to LA is going to be amazing. Stevie.
King starting to feel himself a little bit. Be careful.
Yep. 877-337-6666. 1048. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to you talking about what the Giants should do. Now, listen. What they should do is get their quarterback. And I get it. You know, a little risky when you make trades or maybe you reach to an extent. But with no quarterback, you don't win. And that has been proven over and over. Chuck is in Wildwood. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Sal, I'd like to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. A year ago, when Daniel Jones took the Giants to the playoff win, did mm-hmm. you think he was their number one quarterback then?
Well, what do you mean by number one quarterback? Here's what I'll explain to you. I've never been a believer in Daniel Jones after his first year. And then the year that they went to the playoffs, basically solely because of Daniel Jones, I had no choice but to buy in because he took them to the postseason and won a road playoff game. So I went against my normal instinct in saying that I didn't believe in this player because of what I saw. I mean, he did it. There's no way to dispute what he did. However, yeah. I never really fully believed in him. And this past season was going to be the year that I expected him to take that next step. If he was going to develop into the franchise quarterback that you thought he might be, it was supposed to be this last season with the weapons around him, year two under Brian Daboll, coming off of the success that they had the year prior, and he didn't. And it wasn't just because of injuries. It was a total flop. And now, I don't care what happens, I could never go back to believing in Daniel Jones.
Oh, good point. All right. Thanks, Sal.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you for the
call.
Chuck, I mean,
you got it there,
well,
pal.
You just try to explain it. Like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean, BT? What am I supposed to do after he went, after he carries them to the playoffs?
Yep.
And wins the playoff game, am I supposed to say, well, he still sucks?
No.
I mean,
that's unfair.
Yeah, I had to be fair to him. He
yep.
earned that.
Yeah.
However, last year was one of those, all right, you've earned that, but now you need to actually throw the football. You need to back that year up and throw the football a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
What do you have, 15 touchdown passes?
Right.
You know, a bunch on the ground. They ran the ball well. But you know, the thing about Jones, and it's not disrespect. It's just really acknowledging that there's a real short life on the style that he plays. He's already had two neck injuries. Now the ACL shredded. We keep talking about Daniel Jones like it's a lock that he's going to be ready for week one. We hope that he's ready. Well, I hope. Not every Giant fan does. I do. I hope that he's ready to play week one. But we'll see. So for a guy who is fast and athletic, his knee just, you know, was surgically repaired, and his neck has been a real issue, and he's not 22 anymore, and he's making $40-something million. He threw 15 touchdown passes a couple of years ago. Where are we going with that?
It's just
the reality of it.
He's always hurt, and even when he's healthy, the performance has not been to where you need it to be.
No, Bob's in Uniondale. Maybe he's pumped up about his aisles. What's going on, Bobby?
Mm-hmm. Hey. What you said before about it, you can't win without a quarterback. You can't win without a good offensive line.
I agree.
A good offensive line makes average offensive players better. Quarterback, running back, receiver. The Giants have been drafting these wide receivers. Can't get them the ball. Daniel Jones been getting hurt, constantly getting killed. Last year, the offensive line was horrible. So, you go after Joe Wall, you solidify this offensive line.
All right, who's playing quarterback this season?
One more thing I'll say.
So who's playing quarterback? Is it Jones?
Show up, okay. Because if you have a good offensive line,
yeah.
I want to make one point.
Well, hold on. Before you make that point,
look at
let me just...
Quinn Nelson. Quinn
yeah,
Nelson.
Yeah, well, right. They should have taken him. Exactly. They screwed up. They should have taken... Look, I'm with you. I'm with you, Bob. I would take an offensive lineman before I reach for a quarterback. Now, BT, both can be true. Because I don't think the Giants are winning this year anyway.
No, I don't know.
Okay,
either.
So then why can't they get the better player now?
They could.
Even if it's not a quarterback.
They
and
could.
Then try to find the quarterback, whether it be next year.
Because I don't think there is one next year.
But we don't know how it's going to shake out. It could be one of the drafts.
Sure. I don't. I strongly surmise it's going to be weak.
What about all the free agent quarterbacks?
Oh, yeah, all 30 of them. Come on, Bobby. Mm-hmm. How many of these guys? Thanks for the call, bud. How many free agent quarterbacks are floating around? Rodgers' situation was incredibly unique. He wanted out. Jets were desperate. Boom. Perfect marriage. Same thing with Brett Favre back in the day. Boom. Perfect marriage. Obviously, you know, I mean, what happened with with Kirk Cousins is unique, not just with the Washington team to start, but even now.
But that's a big deal. Atlanta is a team who for years has been needing a quarterback since Matt Ryan obviously left.
Yep.
They've been drafting tight ends and wide receivers, every first pick that they could get, skipping quarterbacks left and right, and here they are years later, and now they finally have a real quarterback with Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, I don't love.
No, Kirk's good. You're going to be a playoff team this year, but I understand what you're saying. But think about the last time they did draft a first-round pick. They got to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan.
But they love the quarterback.
Well, true. They love him.
And they hit.
Coming out of BC, and they hit it.
And by the way, even at that particular time, I remember saying, I'm not sure because I didn't watch enough of Matt Ryan at Boston College to know how good he was going to be. Also, it felt like it might be a little bit of a reach because of what happened with Michael Vick, and they needed a quarterback. And at the time, Jake Long, I think, went number one to Miami, and Glenn Dorsey was on the board. Remember him, defensive tackle, and went to Kansas City?
Yeah, big boy.
I thought something like that.
Dorsey went to the Chiefs, right?
I wanted to build inside out and get a solid foundational piece for years to come and not reach for a quarterback. Now, it turns out they weren't reaching. It was a great pick. Matter of fact, Bill Parcells screwed up by not taking Matt Ryan with the Dolphins. Anyway, you have to, if it's the right guy, I'm not opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they need an offensive lineman or a wide receiver more. I'm just saying it feels like the first three guys are going to be off the board, and it feels like because they're quarterback needy, they're going to be reaching probably for McCarthy.
Here's one thing we know about the Giants' history. When they take a quarterback in the first round, it's rewarded. Phil in 79, Eli, obviously, with two championships. I know Phil didn't win the second. He was hurt, but we love Phil. You know, and DJ's not going to win a Super Bowl with this team, but he did win a road playoff game.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not saying it was the ultimate reward. But
when was Dave Brown selected?
Dave Brown was a supplemental pick. Oh, that's why I'm not including him. I forget the exact year. He came out of Duke as well. So, listen, it doesn't just mean, well, you subscribe to history automatically. Well, when the Giants take a quarterback in the first round, good things happen. No, you've got to like the player. But there's also something to be said for coaching him up. Like, I know that you would ideally absolutely lust over a certain player. Like, I need this player. There's no way I can't move forward without him. That's optimal. And that does happen sometimes. But then there's also the relationship where it's like, I really like this kid. Maybe, you know, there's one or two things I'm not fully sure on, but there's enough checks in the boxes. And then I get him in the building. And I'm talking about Dable, not Shane. Now I coach him up.
Right.
Don't you think there's real intrigue?
Yes.
Get Dable a young quarterback. Can we finally do that?
I do. I love to see that. Yes, I agree with you. However, when you're picking sixth, you're kind of in a weird spot. For a team that's quarterback needy and you're at six, you don't want to reach because you could potentially be missing out on a perennial all-pro for years to come just because you're reaching when the first three, it doesn't mean that they're going to be better than the fourth guy taken, but in all likelihood, you're going to be taking the fourth player to be selected at that position.
Yep.
And that's...
And listen, I'm going to give you some ammo, even though we see it a little bit differently, maybe more specific, Sal. They will have access to what very well might be the best non-quarterback prospect of the draft. And what you said,
that's what I'm saying. You could take the first lineman or the first wide receiver, potentially.
Or the fourth best quarterback.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he's going to be the fourth best. It doesn't mean the other guy's going to be the first best.
But
I know what you mean. I get it.
I just don't want to reach. That's all. And by the way, I do think any quarterback, like I was reading somewhere today, I forget where it was, that quarterbacks would be salivating at the opportunity to go to Minnesota. Like, that's the perfect spot, the landing spot. They have, you know, guys up front to protect. They have the play call or whatever.
Justin
Jefferson. I believe Dable... Shane Dable, New York Football Giants, I would trust Brian Dable to develop a quarterback. So if I'm a young quarterback, that would be an intriguing spot to me.
Yeah, I like those guys a lot, but I think Minnesota's got a good thing going as well. I do. I think they've got a good thing going. They got a nicer stadium. Let's start with that.
Yeah, Minnesota.
No, I know, but they score points. I get you. They score
Vikings.
Points.
Vikings.
The Vikings.
What about them? Come on, they're losers. We know it.
They did lose four Super Bowls in the 70s.
Yeah.
Four.
Have they been back to one since?
No.
Oh, come on. That's what I'm talking about. This is big blue.
Yeah. It's true. No, that's true. It's not the Jets we're talking about. It's the Giants, so it's a little different.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.